episode 59, right?
Sure. we'll figure that. We'll figure that out in post.
Welcome to episode.
Yeah.
No, I think. Yeah, it's episode 59. Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 59 of MGTOWN Podcast, your only weekly source for gifts of Lizzo playing the flute. As usual, I'm producer Tim. Joining me is the mayor of MGTOWN, Drexel. Say hi.
Hello to everybody.
So, first of all, you brought a guest who's muted himself.
Oh, yeah, he's unmuted.
So, go ahead, introduce your guest.
Well, so, I mean, this episode is actually a special episode. It's the first time I've ever had a family member on. So in an episode about family and talk about some of the experiences of family, I had to bring in my man, Black Rain, say what's up to everybody.
Yo, what's good? What's good? How we doing?
We're doing better than most. You know, Black, you and I have had a million conversations over the years since, you know, you're 9 days older than me. And, all of the fuckery that we got to endure in 39 years on the planet, right? And we think back to some of the things that we've seen, experienced. And, you know, we always talk about family, and we can't talk about family without going first and foremost to the goddamn family reunions, man. A lot of people don't know our family reunions were it. We had the crunkest family reunions in the fucking world.
Legendary.
Man. You know, one of the things that, one of the earliest family reunions was the Hot Springs one out in Arkansas back in 92, right? And there's a bunch of people out there who don't understand. In 1992, this is back when the arcade was king, right? And we were at the hotel, and it was, I mean, I think it was, I want to say it was like late night, right? Like, I think the pool was closed. It was that late.
Yep.
And we stumbled upon the game. Right? You and I are doing our thing. We're talking shit. Me, you, my older brother, and then, you know, our cousin. Well, you know, the only female cousin was really kind of like part of the crew. And we're out there doing our thing. And then you and I go ahead and we see it, right? We see that Fatal motherfucking Fury. And Black, they don't know about Fatal Fury, man.
And Howard is all I have to say.
Hey, when Geese showed up, there's people out there who don't get it, man. These young bucks don't know, right? They go in there and they go to the settings and they can, you know, they can put in some shit like, oh, I'm gonna put in this code or I'm gonna do this, that. I got regenerating health bars. In the old era of the arcade, Black, you need to let these kids know what was going on back then, man.
My gosh. So, you know, we had this conversation, right? Because, you know, I've got two kids, I got two boys, right? So I'm always ragging on them because I'm like, you guys don't understand. I'm like, I'm scarred for life because of some of these games. Right. I was like, I think I spent probably my early childhood's life savings in quarters. Right. In Fatal Fury. So to have the experience of trying to beat Geese Howard late in an arcade when you're like, I don't know, what were we, 12 or something when this was going on?
No, we were only 9 or 10.
No. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was a little younger than that. So getting punished repeatedly. Getting the brakes beat off of you. That's psychological damage, man. But I will say, I mean, that reunion, just the whole experience. I mean, we still laugh and talk about it today. I mean, we were sending our cousin that we were referring to. I mean, she was just going on runs, just quarter runs.
Quarter runs, man. They don't know nothing about that.
They don't know about rolling quarters and stuff, man. It's like, hey, here's $10. Come back with $10 in quarters. Like, we missed half the reunion because I think it was in there. Most of it was spent in the arcade. And our parents didn't care.
Well, you know, the beauty of that whole era, man, is that, you know, this is before the internet, before everything that people have right now, right? We were out there being entertaining. This is something that, a lot of people don't understand, man. We talk about the way that family was run back then. You know, we grew up in a nuclear family. There was a mom, there was a dad. This is before all this rapid feminist bullshit. But like, kids used to run wild, man. You remember, you know, you and I, me, you know, everybody, we used to just leave.
Yep.
There was no parent around. There was no cell phone. You couldn't check in. They're like, yo, be back at this time. Yeah, okay, cool. That was it. Like,
that was it. That was it. They were going to go do what they needed to do. But I mean, it was more of a village mentality back then too. I mean, you could be running around. You had aunts, uncles, whatever that were around. I mean, they could keep an eye on you. They would see you or whatever. But your parents, man, they weren't tripping about that.
Yeah, I mean, we used to go out.
It's ridiculous.
Well, you look at, you know, we talk about, you know, just some of these reunions, man. And, you know, the most infamous reunion of all being 1994 when we went to Vegas.
Oh, God.
And to this day, the Vegas had the most people. 94 reunion in Vegas was had the most family members, right? And there was more wild shit happening at the Vegas reunion than, like, any reunion, man. Like, off-the-wall shit. Like, there are people out there who don't know, man. We had an uncle, man. We talk about family in this episode. We had an Uncle Sam. God rest his motherfucking soul.
Rest in power, Uncle Sam.
Hey, Black. Look, he's, man, you need to tell these cats what Uncle Sam was doing, man. Because he was wilding out.
He's in heaven with a belt right now. So, oh, yeah, man. Uncle Sam's a legend, man. Missed this dude. He did not mind. If you stepped out of line, Uncle Sam just like, okay, hey, forget it. I'm whooping them. I mean, that was pretty much his motto. He's like, oh, okay. Y'all don't want to listen? Want to do whatever? All right. Well, we're just going to handle this up real quick.
Oh, but yeah, you get a two-piece quick.
Hilariously funny. Oh, yeah, he had BOGOs. He had a BOGO deal on hands. He's like, come on, come get you some. Yeah, it didn't matter. But this dude, man, it's so important, though, like from a family perspective. I mean, you think about that, you know, your uncle and all that, man, your dad. I mean, these cats, man, they were like, we defined as real men. I mean, these dudes, they didn't go for that, right? So you weren't going to be disrespectful or you were around saying something or out of line or whatever. And don't you dare say you and go tell.
Oh, okay. Come on now. Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what's wild, though? We had a time, man, when you and I were growing up where if you know, remember, you didn't even always have to do something to get an ass whooping, right? You could catch an ass whooping for thinking the wrong thing. Like, you thought something wrong, and that was enough to get an ass whooping. Like, Uncle Sam used to go room to room. Where they at? I'm whooping them. Like, room to room in a hotel. Like, y'all know there's like 2,000 rooms in a hotel. He was going room to room with the belt.
Loud. Hey, too loud. You're there clowning, jumping all around. Hey, you better not have that. You better not mess up and have that room above Uncle Sam.
Oh,
that's a wrap.
Well, I mean, you know, we talk about the things that we would wild out doing, man. And, you know, we grew up the way the family structure was. Being that I was in the North, you were in the South, you know, I would spend summers and shit in long periods down there in the South. I remember, I know you remember this ass whooping. You were getting your ass whooped by Grandpa, right? So Papa was whooping that ass. I didn't like that he was whooping you the way he was whooping you. Hey, you remember how that? You remember how Papa looked at me? Like,
the look of initial shock. And then he just transitioned to, oh, well, I got time today. You can come on and catch this too. Like, I'm gonna whoop him. It's just like Don, you know, like Don Cheadle, right? In Rush Hour, what'd he say? First I'm gonna whoop your ass, and then I'm gonna whoop your ass. I mean, that's essentially what he did.
Oh yeah, whoopings were a part of life, man. I tell everybody, man, you know, they talk about Black crime statistics. I said, look, I'm going to get this shit straight real quick. The reason why you see such a high rate of Black crime statistics, a bunch of ignorant Negroes in jail cells, is real simple. It's because they didn't have a father or uncles and or uncles, but especially the dad that was whooping that ass. We were getting like half our childhood was getting whooped. The other half was doing shit to get whooped. We were always in trouble. I mean, look, Black almost literally lost his eye at 8 years old, man. Like,
true.
You remember that bullshit? Dude, we were playing with fireworks for no reason. Like,
oh my gosh. Yep. Hey, I'm going to tell you now, man. Your brother, who has the hardest head known to man
ever,
we're out. I mean, we're doing all kinds of stuff, man. We're doing black cat dares where you're cutting the fuse on a black cat holding in your hand, you know, playing chicken with those, seeing who can hold it the longest before they drop it. We're running around the side of the house with sparklers, I think is what those things were called then, but flying around the house. I'm looking one way, he's looking the other. Just a collision. Bam! I can't see anything out of my left eye. Like, everything, just vision gone. This dude, we collided, we get in the house. I'll never forget how Grandma looked at my face when I came in. You know, they put that look on like, ooh, I don't think laying a frozen steak on that eye is going to help right now. You know, like, this eye looks bad. And meanwhile, you got your brother over there. He's whining and crying because he's got a knot on his head. I'm like, dude, look at my eye. It's like I've lost vision.
You know, your eye look like, hey, you remember when Kimbo Slice first got big on World Star, man? He had that motherfucker in his eye, and his eye was hanging out. It's like, God damn. Like,
man, dude, my eye hurt so bad. I was so worried. I was like, man, I'm going to be blind. I'm thinking I'm going to have to wear a patch. I'm thinking about going to school. I was like, man, everybody's going to be asking me, oh, man, you got your ass whooped in a fight. I was like, no, that's not what happened. It was, that was pain.
Well, it was wild because, you know, this ain't the first time you went ahead and got that eye pieced up. You know, your mom caught you when that eye got pieced up for the wrong reason.
Hey, it's a lot. Yeah, childhood, man, I wouldn't trade it for the world. But, you know, these kids now, I mean, we talk about our kids all the time. And it's just like you were talking about, you know, with your daughter, it's like, hey, now you better be glad you got boys. That's what you tell me all the time, right? Because, yep. Like, I got to be careful, you know, with my daughter. I'm like, well, look, I got boys. And, oh, I was like, man, I must be getting paid back. Whatever that tenfold stuff is that they're talking about, it's like, this must be it. With extra interest. Like that Bank of America credit card interest.
Well, the thing about when it comes to boys, man, you and I have talked about the fact that, you know, in the family structure, you know, I'm a single father, you know, you got the kids, the wife. You know, we made this transition, right, where we were the badass kids out there wilding out. Now you're a father, I'm a father, right? And
right.
What is the biggest change that you've noticed from, you know, that transition, right? You and I were out running around as kids, getting into all kinds of trouble. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know, you wake up one day, you're like, I'm dealing with these badass fucking kids. I can't stand these little bastards. And then it hits you, they're doing the same shit we were doing, right? 30 yep. years ago.
Yep. Yeah, I think, man, for me, this transition of, I now see why my pops said no as much as he did. Hey, pops, let's go play basketball. No. Hey, let's go do this. No. I'm tired.
Tired.
I'm like, damn, you always tired.
You always tired.
now, kids come to me. Dude, I'm struggling to go play a game of Uno. It's just like, hey, let's go play Uno. I'm like, oh. I was like, man, I don't know if I got it in me tonight. I'm like, now I understand. I understand what they were talking about. It's like, and now with all the other basic bullshit that you got to deal with the way stuff has changed so much in schools and
yeah, man.
Oh man, it makes so much different now. I mean, then you got to educate them on all this other crap that we didn't have to deal with when we were coming up. So it's, I mean, it's obviously it's even more, you know, stress and stuff piled on you. But I mean, as a dad, man, in particular being, you know, a black father, I mean, it's, you already get the bad rap thanks to the wonderful portrayal of society a lot of the times. But I mean, I'm going to be present, right? That's one big thing we talked about, like with our dads and just the family as a whole, man. Rarely did you see us without them, right? So
I don't remember it, man. Like when you and I were growing up, right? I don't really especially in early childhood, because like I didn't really see anybody even divorced until I was a teenager. You know what I'm saying? Right. Right. I don't remember anybody that we knew, like especially in our own family. I don't remember anybody that was like had a single. They were a single parent household. You see what I'm saying? All of our cousins, two parent households. We were in two parent households. Our family's family, like everywhere I looked, everybody had a two parent household, right? And you think about how much has changed, and now you like you know you see these kids out here just wilding out, acting fucking crazy. Getting into like real trouble, like the kind of trouble that, you know, stays with you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, like on your record trouble.
Yeah. When you get that on your record trouble, man, shit's fucked up. And, you know, you talk about raising boys. What have you noticed about raising boys, man? Compared to like, obviously, I'm in the worst case scenario because, you know, having a girl, it's basically punishment, man. All day, every day is punishment. It sucks. It's horrible, man. It's fucking horrible. Here's the thing. I'm tired of people capping, right? Because all we, you know, you and I have talked about this, man. People cap about what family is. They're like, oh, it's all great. It's so good. And, you know, it's warm fuzzies. Nah, man, it usually sucks.
Oh, man, listen. So, yeah, a couple of things on the family stuff, right? Just from a marriage standpoint, for instance, right? I mean, I find it hilarious when people do all, I mean, I don't get on social media a lot, like Ollie at all, but I always love to see all the wonderful, perfect family pictures and our anniversary, and we're doing all this. And I'm laughing. I was like, yeah, I know that's a lie. But anyway, I look at family now, and this, I'll never forget when I was getting married. This older white guy came to me. He was like, hey, a little bit of advice. He's like, it's going to be three things that you're going to spend the majority of your time fighting over when you get married. It's just a matter of how much can you tolerate and how much you care about that person to deal with it. And I was like, all right, what are the three things? He was like, money, your finances of the house, sex, and how to raise your kids. And if that wasn't the truest statement that I ever got as far as advice, because that's really what we fight over the majority of the time when we get into it, it's usually centered around those three things. But when it comes to like raising, you know, raising kids, dude, these boys, man, oh my gosh. Like I was talking about with school. Dude, you have to be, because the way things are structured now and the things that they're teaching them, and you have to come back. Like the little one comes back and he was like, yeah. He's like, hey, Dad, what's this? He starts talking about like gender. And I'm looking, I'm like, dude, you're in the second grade. You know, he starts asking me about, hey, what is that? You know, what is this about trannies? I was like, what?
What?
So I was like, dude, I mean, I'm completely caught off guard. Right. I'm like, I don't know. He's like, yeah, he says it's a boy and a girl. How can you be a boy and a girl? And I'm like, I'd like to take a time out, please, and request a recess. And then come back to you, because I got to go think about this. You know, how am I going to lay this out? So it's crazy. And, you know, my son, you know, the other one's, you know, in high school, right? So he's got all this added pressure of all the junk that comes with social media and people living these false lives and alternate realities. I mean, on top of, hey, I'm an athlete, I'm in sports, and you know, just the normal pressures that come in high school. So on my end, I'm trying to be the centerpiece for these kids, right? To be, hey, I can come talk to my dad, and it can be available. Let me be, and then I'm always real with them. I don't ever give them like the Family Matters / Full House type. I'm gonna be more raw with mine. When I talk to my oldest, I'm talking to him the same way he's going to hear it in the hallways of high school.
Yep.
Right? I'm not out here talking about, well, you know, hey, you in the vajayjay. I'm like, no, let's get real.
Yep.
Like this is what's going down. And if you do these things, here are the consequences that go along with that. Right? I'm like, you're going to be, like, what do you want to do? I'm like, hey, is 2 minutes of whatever pleasure worth a lifetime of pain? You know, these conversations, when we start talking about sex and all that, I was like, I got plenty of homies, 18-year prison sentence, if you're lucky, when it comes to child support and things like that. Like, could be worse.
Yeah, these hoes are savages, man.
Yeah, right. These kids, these girls, man, they're getting, because they're getting trained, right, yeah, on how to do this, man. It's sad. Dude, it's sad. We went to a basketball game, and I'm out here, I'm like, these girls are dressed, forget provocative. It's
oh shit,
man, it's so bad. I'm like, dude, how could you have your daughter out here? I mean, shorts all. I mean, forget up to your ass. They're completely in the ass, like gone.
God damn, I'm ass like, swallowed up the shorts. We got ass swallowing shorts, man. Fuck apple bottom jeans. We got ass swallowing shorts, man.
Right, you're coming to these games. And I'm like, well, what is a young teenage boy supposed to do? I think in this case, right? I'm thinking like, man, my son's got it bad. I'm like, these chicks got all these makeup on. I mean, it's insane. I'm like, it looked way different, right, than the girls when we were in school, right? Because it was just one big thing. If a girl started popping breasts, you're like, oh, I mean, it was something, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh no, that's the norm now. And then, you know, again, I'm just trying to be in a position where I'm having real conversation with them, putting them in a position where, like, look, you got to understand, you're under attack. And if you show any type of masculinity, especially talking to my oldest, you're gonna see when you get out here, oh, that gets rejected quick. And like, that's something that's being frowned upon.
Well, did you ever tell him the harsh truth, which is, so it's something I grew up with and I struggled with back in the day because, you know, I was just being me and I didn't know why I was getting in trouble. And it was like this. You and I have talked about this. Masculinity gets rejected in public, but rewarded in private, right? Whereas the soy boy, it's the opposite. The soy boy gets praised in public, right? This is a good guy. You see this? He's a feminist ally. He's perfect. And then in private, he gets no play, right?
Right.
And so, you know, and I think that's one of the things that if you notice, they kind of like try to neuter the boys because, like, I worry about your sons because I'm like, yo, I'll tell you what, Black, they're going to try to put these boys in fucking dresses and shit. You see what I'm saying?
Hey, it's going on. I mean, that stuff's going on now. It's just, oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's cool. It's cool to accept that. Do what you feel, you know, that kind of stuff, man. I'm like, dude, block all that noise because there's none of that's going down.
No, this is the thing that's wild, though. You and I are talking about the nature of family, why family is so important, though. But let's face facts. The only person who stops all this fuckery is dad. That's it. That's the last line of defense. Like, you're talking about those girls at the basketball game. Were their dads there? I bet you they weren't. You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the boys who are putting on dresses, talk about some, I don't know what gender I am. Well, guess what? Who's at the house, right? It ain't dad. Right. And if it is, it's some, you know, henpecked bullshit fake husband who, you know, who's out there getting pegged anyway, right? Because look, let's be honest, man. Look, Black, these modern dudes are fucking soft, man. They are the epitome of bitch made, man. You and I talk about this.
Yes.
You know, we talked about, you know, it's not just like the breakdown of the family structure led to some other problems. Someone goes, what do you mean by that, Drex? go look at your sports. You and I have talked about this, man. They keep on trying to push bullshit, saying these modern athletes are so great. I mean, look, man, I know what greatness looks like because I've seen it, right? Like, here's the thing. You and I talk about, you know, we grew up playing ball, right? And you always know if you're right if the old heads are agreeing with you, right? So when you and when people ask who's the best 1-2 punch in basketball history, Michael and Scotty, right?
Right.
So you start asking old heads, right? The guys who would be, you know, extremely biased, right? And the old heads are like, yeah, Michael and Scotty. You're like, wait a minute. How come, you know, this guy should be biased? Because, you know, normally, you know, they're normally saying like, oh, you know, back in my day, blah, blah, blah. But they're like, yeah, yeah, no, dude, we know what guys look like back in our day. We're looking at Michael and Scotty. These guys, you know, these guys are it. Right. Now what you're starting to recognize is that these dudes are out here acting a pure fool, showing up to the game in dresses, right?
Dude.
Doing weirdo shit. Yeah. You know, the rules have changed. Like, look, you and I were just talking about this, man. This dick sucking of like guys like Tom Brady and James Harden and stuff. It's like, dude, I'm not saying Tom Brady isn't great, right? Tom Brady is great. Make no mistake. But you and I were just talking about this. When they start talking about, you know, the GOAT and all that shit, I'm like, this guy is so far from the GOAT, it's not even fucking funny. Because you're playing one side of the ball. You see what I'm saying? You can't call someone the fucking GOAT when the score, the buzzer rings, and he's not even on the field, right? If Malcolm Butler doesn't make that play and Seattle doesn't make a bad play, they lose. If the Falcons aren't the worst team in history, they lose. You see what I'm saying? As you start going down the line, listen, that's not a knock on Brady. It's a knock on sports writers. You see what I'm saying? These are the same sports writers that go like
absolutely.
This. Oh, Black, you know what? Babe Ruth. Look, bro, go ask people who know baseball. They'll tell you, who the fuck did Babe Ruth play against?
There you go.
You see what I'm saying? Like, this is the problem. Who the fuck did Babe Ruth actually play against, man?
Right.
Jackie Robinson was MVP of the MLB. He wasn't even the best Negro League player.
Man, there you go.
He was good. What is that telling you? Bro, did you go against the best competition? Right?
No.
You and I talk about this, man. Competition. Like, remember, we wanted a meritocracy back in the day, right? We were like this. Yo, do you remember going to the gym just playing a game of 21, right? We're playing pickup ball. You wanted to go against the best. You didn't want to neuter them going, no, nah, man, if you're above 6'5" or you have a 40-inch vertical, we're not going to allow you to play. No, no, no. You wanted to play against the best, right?
Absolutely. And this, that goes back to the, all these talks that we had about this. Because this, I mean, from my peeps at work and all this, right? When we're talking about these, they love doing that. And I got a lot of people from the New England area. And, oh, God, they get on my nerve with this worshiping of Brady. Like, look, not knocking this dude in terms of his individual greatness at the quarterback position in this era of football, if you can still call it football.
This. Right? Like, I was just talking to my girl, NCAA Cat. What do you even consider this era of football and basketball? What do you even consider it? I don't even consider this football or basketball that we're witnessing right now.
Oh, it's, I mean, by comparison, it's not, because everything's just pretty much about entertainment. I mean, it's, what can we do? What do people really want to see? Oh, they want to see points. They want to see a lot of scoring. They want to see the best players have the easiest whatever path they can to shine. Because essentially what all this is. Yep. I mean, again, I'm not knocking people in the era of, oh, these guys aren't good at their craft. Because you still have to study. You still have to train. You still have to put in the hours. And these dudes do it at a level such that they're better than the people who are, you know, their peers, right? Because they're above them in terms of their overall accomplishments and things like that.
Yep.
But again, I always throw the question back to him on, okay, if he is, you're trying to sell me on that he's the GOAT. I'm like, of what? Of everything, of all players to ever play the game in NFL?
It's ridiculous, man.
Yeah,
it's
that's ridiculous. What they claim. I was like, what? Because he has, what, 7 rings? Because that's what it is. Yeah. Okay, great. He went out there and won all those seven rings, like you just talked about some of the points. Yeah, you need some luck and capitalize off of people's stupidity, like the Seahawks and the Falcons, right, to win. That's a part of the equation. But again, did he go out there? Did he get that stop on D? No, nope. He didn't. And like these rules, again, are all, oh, look how long he's playing. He's 44 years old. I'm like, okay, have you seen the quarterbacks prior to when they changed the rules? Have you seen those cats walk? Go look at Dan Fouts get out of the booth. Go watch John Elway come down and walk.
For real.
Go ahead. I'm like, now.
Yeah, they didn't have 20-year careers. But look, hey, you seen the, some of those old Pittsburgh footage of how they were hitting. Dude, my they were laying squad. Bradshaw out. Guys my got suplex.
Hey, dude. Suplex. I mean, yeah. Right. It was a race to the QB, man. Like, who's going to take him out first?
Fuck you know, Bounty like, Gate.
Right. Hey, look. The last frontier in terms of the realness of the NFL, Greg Williams. Oh. And his Greg Williams putting barbecue sauce on the table in the defensive meetings. Hey, his ribs busted.
Hey, they got me busted, man.
Barbecue sauce on the
buddy.
Brett Favre, rest in peace after that game.
Hey, I was you like, saw his ankle, right? Hey, that ankle looked like an eggplant, bro. I'm like, God damn. Like, but this thing, though, you and I have talked about this. The fundamental issue that we're talking about is that greatness is being redefined and fucking neutered, right? So what you're starting to see happen is like
watered down.
It's gotten watered down. So what someone calls great now, we're not saying the guy is a scrub. Listen, is Brady the best quarterback ever? He might be. But based on the rules have changed so much and the game has changed so much. I don't really know. Because let's face it, dude, would this guy have a 20-something year career back in the 70s? Fuck no. 80s, no. 90s, no. But now you can. I don't care
how many avocado smoothies you drink.
Yeah, it ain't happening,
LT is bearing down on you in the rules that are today. I mean, that are back in the day.
Yep.
This dude's getting broken in half.
Yeah, you got broke up. Like and that's the thing. These guys are always trying to look, let's face facts, right? If someone were to ask you, what is a bigger accomplishment? A guy passing for, let's say, let's give a crazy number, 7,000 yards today, right? That's not that unheard of because by Dan Marino passing for 5,000 back in his day during a running league and the league was tougher, right?
Right.
Especially back in the day when you had fewer games. People talk about Randy, like I'll give you a prime example. Randy Moss's first year in New England, right? He breaks Jerry Rice's touchdown record. And people are all, oh my God, Randy Moss. I love Randy. We know that, right?
Yep.
But let's face some facts. Jerry Rice had the 22 touchdowns in a 12-game season. 12.
Right.
These guys got 16 games to get 23. Okay, well, damn. Oh, okay, so by that definition, though, Black, how many touchdowns would Jerry Rice have had he been healthy back then in that same season with Joe Montana throwing the bombs, right? How many touchdowns would he have if he had four more games, right?
Oh, dude, he's, first of all,
he might have 30.
Yeah, you're right. He's putting a 30 piece up easy.
Easy. And no one acknowledges it. Like, everyone tries to just look at like the numbers. And this is the problem I have. They look at numbers, and they like. And this is the problem I have with guys like LeBron. I have nothing against him, like in terms of how he plays personally, right? But they go like this. They start slobbing LeBron's dick, and I go like this.
Oh, man.
Skip Bayless has talked about this a whole lot. He says, go look at his opponent's win percentage in the playoffs and finals, right? He's going against cream puff opponent other than Golden State, and Golden State is a product of this era. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Steph Curry cannot go run around the fucking three-point line launching bombs back in the 80s in the bad boy Pistons era. Can't happen. Oh, that's,
now, yeah.
Now hey, but in that shit. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
hey, when Coach Chaney said, send out a goon?
Yeah, exactly. What did he just say? Something about the whatever it was, Warriors, 17 Warriors, whichever version he was saying they were better than the 96 Bulls.
He says the 2017 Warriors would have beaten the 96 Bulls, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this guy.
But here's the thing. He's actually right, though. This is the thing. Look, here's the thing. He's right if you have today's rules, right?
Yeah.
But the athletes are going
to be playing by.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like I say, and this is the reason why, I mean, you and I have talked about this. eras do matter, right? Eras matter, because let's face it. If you like Michael, if a guy like Michael Jordan were born today and played in this era, what he would practice for would be different, right? He like, oh, okay, the three ball is part of the game. That's what. So for people out there who don't understand, the reason why so many records are getting broken is because the game itself has changed, right? The analytics and all this other bullshit. It's basically Euro ball. No one plays real lockdown D. And here's the thing. Look, riddle me this. They talk about how great Steph is, right? LeBron, these guys. Pull up their numbers and show them this. How many times did these guys make first team all defense, right? And defensive player of the year? Tell me how many times. Never, right? Michael was a lockdown defender. You know who's the only defender better than Michael during his playing days? It was his own fucking teammate, Scottie Pippen, right?
I was going to say Pippen.
That's it. So how can someone talk about goats and all this shit when they play one side of the ball, right? That'd be like saying a pitcher is the best of the best, right? He's the best player, not best pitcher, best player. A pitcher only pitches X amount of times during the year, right? That's why when you look at it, that's why pitchers have a separate record than the team, right?
Yep.
And people need to understand this. His impact in the game is huge, make no mistake, but people always forget. The guy who is an infielder is playing every game, 162, right? The pitcher is playing, you know, based on how many starts. He may play 30 games in a year. In a year. But his contract is $30 million, $20 million. For people not to, and you and I have talked about this, that's why the true GOATs come from, like, are you in mixed martial arts? Are you in tennis? Are you a sport where it's just you out there?
Boxing.
Right?
Yeah, boxing. It's mano y mano.
Mano and mano, baby.
And there's, well, like, you know, there's nobody there to save you.
Yeah. If you have a bad game in a team sport, and this goes for everybody. Michael's had bad games. Brady's had bad games. Look, I've seen it. You know, I was criticizing Brady earlier, but I'll give Brady his props. Do you remember that Super Bowl that New England played against the Eagles? Brady did everything right and still lost, right? Because the New England defense was trash and let Philly score with sorry-ass Nick Foles at will, right?
Right.
So guess what, though? That counts as a loss on Brady's Super Bowl record, right?
Yeah.
So just like, okay, the same way that Brady sitting on the sideline while Malcolm Butler intercepts Russell Wilson's pass, that counts as a win in the same way that the loss counts against him when he's just sitting there going, hey, man, I'm doing everything I can. These fuckers are, the defense ain't stopping nobody.
Exactly. Exactly. Whereas
if you're Muhammad Ali, and like you and I have talked about this, the Floyd Mayweathers of the world, right? We used to get into those barbershop arguments, right? And you used to always have that guy that would talk crazy, like, you know, Floyd is the best boxer ever because he's undefeated. Rocky Marciano's undefeated. Who did you fight against, though? And when did you fight him?
Right. There you go.
You and I know sports because we played the shit. We know the shit. But see, what's happening is, without the fathers around, without the real family structure, without people putting you in check. So, like, when you, like think about it. If you and I said something crazy back in the day, right? You and I could say something crazy. There would be someone to stop us, right? Like, let's say, like you and I love Mace's first album, right? It was a great pop rap album, right? Harlem World, right? What if you and I walked in a barbershop back in 97, 98, and were like, Mace is the best rapper of all time? Do you see how insane that would sound? Because you would have a bunch of dudes sitting in there looking like you, like, what the fuck did you just say? Like, what, because the guy made one album? Like,
right.
Because you're a prisoner of the moment, right?
That's it. Prisoner of the moment.
And so people wind up showing you, like, so they start pulling out catalogs. And if you are being objective, right? If you're being objective, you'll look at somebody and go like this. Yeah, bro, I may love this Mace and this Harlem World album, his guest spots, but I got to go ahead and say he does not hold a fucking candle to these guys. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. Exactly.
And that's the thing. This happened with Penny Hardaway, right, where guys were slurping Penny. I love Penny Hardaway, but let's face it. At the end of the day, you can't judge someone's career until it's completely over, right?
Right.
Because what if a guy has a great start and then he gets hurt, right? He has 5 good years and then bam, he blows out his knee or his back or something. Derrick Rose had one of the best explosive starts of a basketball career ever.
Oh yeah.
Chris Paul ever. And then he got hurt and he wasn't the same guy. You see what I'm saying? Like you and I have talked about this where it's like we grew up at a time, man, where like you had old heads that checked you. That's why the family structure was so important. Same with, you know, we talk about gaming all the time, right? We look at the world of gaming. How many times have you heard modern people, these young bucks, talking about how like a certain game is like the best ever, and it's so much better or whatever? And I'm like, dude, this is a literal ripoff of some shit that we played 25 years ago, bro.
Right.
Like, here's a question though. So Black, do you believe that a lot of this shit that you're seeing right now, do you believe it's gonna last 20 years from today?
No. I don't.
I say all of it's gone. I'm gonna be honest with you. Yeah. All of it. Yeah. All of the shit that, the guys that you're slurping in sports right now, they're gonna be forgotten. All of the shit you hear in music right now, garbage. It's gone. Show me some movies, right? Look, Black, we grew up on the same movies, right? Do you notice that those movies are getting remade and shit, and people talk about to doing. This day? Now all they gotta keep remaking shit because they have nothing new. Look, right. there's gonna be two generations of kids. They didn't see Terminator when it first came out, right? Terminator was new. The Matrix, the original, was new in 99, right?
Right.
All of a sudden, there's kids now. All they get to see is a bunch of trans bullshit, right? Everybody is my representation. We got to have Black people and women and trans people and the rainbow community. We used to watch movies like this. Yo, Black, is this shit hot or is it not, right? We didn't care who was in it. Is it hot or is it not, right?
Of course.
You put on that real shit. Look, we used to watch movies, man, just because these young bucks don't know, man. Do you remember growing up at a time, man, we could go to the movie rental store, right? And we would just go find shit and just say, is this shit enjoyable even, right? It wasn't about representation. Right. Do we watch the movie and do we enjoy it, right? We watched Dr. Giggles down in Arkansas. You know what I'm saying? Is Dr. Giggles a good movie? No, it's not good. But for what it was, a cheesy ass fucking
guilty pleasure horror.
Guilty pleasure? It was great. We were sitting there. Here's the thing. We got to the end of it and we enjoyed it. You see what I'm saying? We were just sitting there like, oh man, we go in those rental stores, man. We go up and down the aisles. We were getting it in. And this is the thing, man. One of the things that's kind of gotten lost is that because the family has broken down, we don't have people to kind of like, you know, lead us down a certain path, right? Like, you know, like certain movies. Like, I mean, think about it. Most guys grew up and they watched The Godfather because their dad told them about it, right?
Of course.
You know, so someone told, like you had an older brother, you had an older sibling. There was someone in your life that was older and wiser that was like, yo, man, you need to know about this. You need to hear this. A lot of, there were certain rap albums, certain rock albums I never heard about until someone told me about it, right?
Right.
What culture is being left now, though? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, just it. The key word is culture. Like, so I talked to my oldest. I was like, dude, I feel bad for you, man. I really do. Like, because what does your current generation, I'm like, what are you going to do? I was like, I feel bad because what in 20 years from now? I was like, who's going to be, y'all going to be hopping to Travis Scott? Y'all going to be, you know, I'm just throwing names. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, who are you, this mumble rap, whatever generation? It's like, bro, I play something for him from when we were listening to rap, right? Because I remember when our aunt was in there, she first heard.
That Thug Love. That Thug Love with Bone and Tupac, baby. Woo!
It's like at the time was like in her 40s. She turned it up. She's like, wait, what is this?
What is this?
Yeah. Now, you know, I got him on some of this stuff, but I'm like, dude, okay, this is what music sounds like. We get in here with this crap that you guys are listening to. It's like, I don't understand it. And so now in his mind, he's like, man, this. By comparison, this shit is whack. Now it's, you know, light bulb coming on. But then I feel bad, like I said, for that generation of, like, dude, you guys are so out of touch. Like, what are you going to do with all this if you spent all the hours of your day jacking around on filters and social media to post a video, a TikTok or whatever it is to impress somebody? I'm like, dude, what is that going to look like? Few years from now, this isn't even going to exist. Like, this is all you got to hold on to. These are your memories. This is what you have to fall back on.
You weren't outside, right? Like, think about it. People forget, man. You know, there's people out there that blame video games. It's people from the left and the right. You know what I'm saying? They try to blame video games for, oh, these kids are violent because I go, fuck you. Video games existed way back when. And there was, and we weren't shooting up schools. We weren't doing shit.
No.
Right? Like, no. We were outside. It was like, even when video games existed, right? Even when Sonic Spinball was new, we were still outside in the backwoods. Man. There were rattlesnakes and shit. Like, dude, we were in the fucking boonies. June bugs. Like, dude, we were out there. And this is the reason why I can't stand a lot of these new dudes, man. And that's why they said, like, you know, so I don't know. That's why you always hear people say, I don't know about these new dudes. Is that these guys have never done shit. They got no fucking hood stripes. They've never done shit, never been nowhere. Right. And that's why, if you notice, their social skills are fucking trash.
They're
right?
Terrible.
Put them up in front of some people right now. Like, just walk in there like this. Hey, here's a room full of people you don't know, a room full of strangers. Go out there and mingle with them. They're like, blah, 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 blah. They don't even know what to say or do because, like, dude, it's because they spent so much time jerking off online, right? Playing video games. Look, dude, man. It's okay to jerk off online. It's okay. It's okay to play video games. But what else, though? You see what I'm saying? Right. What else?
Right. Again, like I was saying, they live in a fantasy. They live in an alternate reality. I had to interview a couple of people. I'm not going to lie, man. That was like one of the most painful experiences. Because just the overall awkwardness, like socially awkward. You know, this is like, okay, this is real, by the way. No, you can't hide behind your keyboard. No, we can't do, you can't post a video about this. This is one-on-one. Just tell me about yourself. Just a simple question. You know, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Hands like shaking. And I'm like, dude, is this your first interview or are you just that detached from reality that you're just frozen? You don't know what to do.
It's real cool on a keyboard, right? That, look, and let's face it though, Black. You and I have talked about these keyboard warriors, right? And Mike Tyson said it best. He said the reason why you have all these keyboard warriors because these guys have never been punched in their fucking face. You see what I'm saying? And when you and I grew up, you know, we talked about this, dude. You had to have hands.
Hell yeah.
You had to actually fight people. Like I'm talking, like, when I say fight, I mean actually fight. I don't mean no fucking verbal. No. Dude, you never heard the term verbal abuse back in the day. No one ever used the expression verbal abuse. I'll tell you what they said. He was talking shit.
There you go.
That was the equivalent of verbal abuse. If you guys go back to the 1980s and 1990s, that's what quote unquote verbal abuse was. Someone was running their mouth and you looked at them and was like, what the fuck did you just say to me? And they said something again. Right? It was a bull threat. All of a sudden, you got pieced up.
Yeah.
And you know, the movie Friday talked about that, right? Remember when Craig goes to grab the gun, right? To go outside, right? Yeah. And remember what his dad said? He goes, that's the problem with you kids today. You guys are all punks, sissified.
That's it.
Scared of a good ass whooping. See, that's what happened. These new dudes are fucking bitch made and they're scared of everything. Like, I don't want to lose a fight, so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna grab a gun. And remember what he said? He goes, your uncle decided to pick up a gun too, right?
Right.
And he said, 20 something years old, and that's the rest of his life. Yep. You got dudes serving life in prison, bro. They went in at 19.
Yeah, but you know what that is. You know what this is, though. And again, I have no objection, people. You know, hey, I want to be strapped or whatever. I get it. I'm strapped. But the point is, like you said, this is just to go on to, hey, if you're going to, like you talk about a reference with Friday, right? If you're going to go in and get into it with somebody, they're so, I think part of it is the pressure of social media, of they're so worried about it getting recorded. I'm going to get recorded, getting my ass whooped. So that ain't going to happen, right? So I'm going to really man up, and I'm going to go out here. I'm just going to ice this fool. I'm going to get a gun.
Yep.
No, and do it. Or whatever it is. Or we're gonna go jump this fool. Everybody's gonna get involved.
I gotta ask you about that. What do you think about that weak shit? Like you remember back in the day, mano a mano used to be a thing, man. Like jumping, people don't know this. Jumping used to be frowned upon.
Yes.
this whole mob shit about, oh, I'm about to go mob deep. It's about to be 18 of us jumping up. Like, dude, like, look, you see videos, right? I mean, it'll be like one or two dudes getting jumped by like a whole van load of dudes. You're like, okay, wait, you're tough?
Right, right. Just look at some of these. I've been laughing like at some of these videos getting posted at these football games. Like, I'm like, when do we start doing this? The guy's talking shit. He's talking the trash to this guy. Then he turns around. The guy gets pieced up. But then his homeboy jumps in. And then somebody else jumps in. And they all start whooping this dude. I'm like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm like, man, these was between these two. Like, and these are grown men. I mean, the kids are no different. Because my son had something similar right where at school. They instituted a rule.
Oh, shit.
At school, after they jumped this dude, of zero tolerance fighting, of if there's any hint of any fight, your parents are coming to get you at the station.
Wow. Wow.
You're going to jail. There's no, we're going to be in the principal's office. No, you're going to jail.
Yep.
But you That's know, the new rule.
But here's the thing, though, Black. All of them deserve it. You know why? Is that this goes for all the dudes out there who chose not to be fathers. This is for everybody who allowed masculinity to be beaten down out of society and in these communities. They all fucking deserve it. You know, you heard about that school down, I think it's in Louisiana, where the dads stepped in to be hall monitors, right? Did you hear about that story? And like the school had a dramatic turnaround. All it took, I think it was like
Black dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, let that sink in. So these bitch-made kids, male and female, raised by single mothers, were out here wild, acting crazy, violent. They're uncontrollable. They're all horrible kids. So what turned it around? Oh, shocking. Masculinity. Men turned it around, right?
Yep.
Yeah, you know what stops thottery? Men. Men stops thottery. You know what stops thuggery? Men. Because thuggery is not promoted. This is where people get confused about Black culture, right? They see some rap videos thinking that shit is like endorsed. Dude, they don't know no Black. When we grew up, no one who had a father in their life allowed you to sag your pants.
Never.
Oh, you want to listen to some hardcore gangster rap music? You better have that shit with headphones.
Man.
You see what I'm saying? Well, like people have this image of Black culture. Like, nah, y'all got shit fucked up because they never lived it. Like, so that's the thing. Right. This is where the Karen epidemic came from. People, and this is why you have these like these white elites, these liberals, usually females, right, trying to dictate the terms of what something is. Like, I'm going to tell you what Latin is. Latinx. Latinos don't use that word. You see what I'm saying? Like, and they were like, oh, if you're Black, you better vote. If you ain't voting for Biden, you ain't Black. Since when does an old white man tell me what Blackness is? Who the fuck are you? You see what
exactly.
I'm saying? Like people who have never lived it, right, are trying to dictate what you are supposed to be. That's why you see all these boys running around here not knowing what gender they are, what sexuality they are. It's the total breakdown of the family structure. And how did the family structure get fucked? It starts with dad. Dad is what takes away all fuckery.
It starts in the home. So, you know, my sister's a teacher. She talks about this. And I mean, young kids, like kindergarten age, it's like you can notice immediate difference in the kids who have the dad present in the home versus those who don't. The level of respect is like Grand Canyon gap between them. It's like the ones who don't, they're not dissing single moms out there that are trying hard and all that.
No, they're not. But I'm dissing them. Fuck them.
Again, no, I'm just saying there's a couple that are really trying hard. But if they're the ones that are out here at the forefront of smart mouths, being completely disrespectful, not listening, not following orders, not following directions, holding the class up, everybody's suffering because she's got to stop what she's doing to see about it. Because you know why? Because they're looking for attention.
Yep.
Or they're looking for attention that they're not getting at home. And they lack direction. They don't have, they're like we were talking about, they're lost in that regard. So it's vitally important, right, that fathers are present, right? And not just a body, like actually be present. Like, we talk about with our dads, right? I mean, It wasn't just, I'm just sitting in a recliner all day. Hey, I'm here, but I'm not really here.
Yep.
No, that wasn't the case. No, and then by example, it's like, we didn't sit around doing absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah, you got to put to work, man.
You got to put to work.
Like, hey, work. Cleaning the goddamn gutters. Damn. Hey, oh, look, hey. Never say you're bored, right? Never be around black parents back in the day. And don't ever mention you're bored.
Come out of your mouth.
Never let the words "I'm bored" come. What are you doing? I'm bored. That's the first and last time you'll ever say that shit in your life, man.
It's a death sentence.
They would put that ass to work all day. You be sitting there like by the time you're done, you're like, wait, how did you know? You know what kills me is that every kid who went through this, right? They got to the end of the day exhausted. And they're like, how did this happen? And then they think back. They go back to the day, like, when did this shit start? They're like, okay, so my day was going normal, and then they asked, what's wrong with me? And I said, I'm bored. Oh, that's what happened. And then you never did that shit again. You're like, well, yep, I know what not to say no more. And like, this is the thing, though, is that, Black, we were talking about how these people lack this social intelligence.
Yep.
When we were growing up, it was this trial and error of testing boundaries in your private life that as you got older, you knew what you could and could not say. You see what I'm saying? Like, so walking up to somebody, calling them a certain name or saying something. This is the reason why people are out here, like, you know, they're wondering why someone is trying to, you know, pull out something when they threaten their kids. Like, yeah, you knew early on, like, yeah, here's the lines, right? This is a soft line, this is a hard line. You don't cross hard lines. Because if you cross a hard line, you could actually lose your life. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, you go threatening people's kids or you're going to do something to someone's daughter, don't be shocked when you're in a pine box. You see what I'm saying?
There you go.
Did that. You see what I'm saying? Like there's no accountability no more. It's like this. Yo, no, Black, I'm just going to go say and do whatever I want on social media, talk crazy.
Zero. And talk claim crazy. I'm a victim. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Then play the victim card when the real shooting starts. Right? So it's just, and that's pretty much the way schools are today. A lot of that, man. You got all this, everybody's hiding behind the keyboard crap. And then a lot of it really is just, I'm just thinking, how can we, as just as a father, right? I had a great conversation with your dad about this. He was like, man, he was talking about kids that got in trouble when he was growing up.
Yep.
And they were like, yeah. He said, well, I'm surprised. You know, all of y'all, all those boys, y'all didn't get any trouble. He said, well, you know, basically, shit, we didn't have time. The reason why we didn't get in trouble, because we were busy, because we had stuff to do. Right. And meaning, hey, our parents put us to work. We always had chores. We had responsibilities. You had to be accountable and to each other. And so like I was talking to my oldest about his, he's going over and complaining about some stuff that he had on his chore, you know, his chore list to do. And I'm like, dude, it takes you about 10, 15 minutes tops to do your chores. Some dishes, take the garbage out, you know, lightweight, light work stuff. Meanwhile, our chores, hey, go chop that firewood. Go stack that wood.
Yeah.
Go rake the leaves.
Go rake the goddamn leaves.
Go cut the grass.
Yeah, yeah.
Go rake the... And this is hey, not look, the little...
We were getting... Hey. Dude, we had to clean off the snow from the fucking roof and shit. Like, yeah, go clean that goddamn shit off. I'm like, look, like, you're sitting looking at me, I'm like, I don't feel like doing that shit. I don't give a damn if you feel like doing it. You better go out there and go do that shit.
Right. I don't care. Exactly. Like, but
you had
to
get your hands dirty. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, like these dudes now. And let's face it, though. You and I, I've talked about this with a lot of women now. The women are complaining that they don't have any like real men, right? Like, they're like, well, goddamn, there's no one to date.
Well, you killed.
These guys are all mama's boys and shit.
Yeah, exactly. You killed it.
You killed them. Like you took away everything that makes them what they are. That makes them uniquely man, right?
Yep.
You took all that away. You and I have talked about this. What do you think about when it comes to the differences in the phases, right? You're a married man. What do you think about how you know, that being versus a single guy who's dating in the modern times, right? What do you think about that? Because I'm sure you hear from friends of yours or whoever, like, yo, Black, this is what it's like out here. And what are you hearing?
Well, first of all, I feel bad. I feel bad for him in the sense that it is so much involved now of deceit and deception involved in this. of just trying to genuinely find somebody to date somebody, right? And the crazy part is when you get started, especially as you get older, you know, a lot of things obviously that you cared about when you were younger, you don't really give a damn about. You're just like, can I get something to eat? Like the little things. I get something brought to me for food. Why, can you cook? Can you clean? Can you bring something to the table? That type of thing, right? Whereas what I hear from them is they're like, man, this is hard out here. It's like these, like you got one batch of chicks that don't want to take direction, no leadership, following any type of lead from the man. I'm Miss Independent. I got it all. I can do what I want to do. I really don't need you, but I'm looking for something to do. Then you got the other side of it where you've got this extremely passive form of this where it's like, hey, I'm really looking for somebody, but I want you to do everything. Yep. Right? Like what do you, it's like, you want me to do what? Like first date, I expect you to pay for everything.
And like, well, I just show up and look pretty.
Yeah, we're getting to know each other. I'm not about to drop a couple hundred on you or whatever, where you want to go eat and all this other nonsense. They say that dude is so bad now. That
is it that bad? Like I said, I mean, I hear sort of this thing. I don't take bitches out to eat. Right, like if we're cool and I know you, yeah, no big deal, right? Like if I'm coming to stay with you, hang out or something, like you know that part is cool. But I'm saying like dating, like I don't date, and I hear these stories. I mean, how much are guys spending?
Oh, so one of my good friends, he's like, man, I mean, one's recently divorced, right? So he's like, hey, I'm getting back in the game. He was like, man, this is some discouraging shit. Like, because my perception of going out on a date is entirely different than what some of these other chicks are. And so he's saying this really more so about, you know, some of the younger ones that he's been trying to date, right? And he's like, our generation, like the problem with them is, I don't call them broken, but they're just like they're all broken. These baggage and scars. All this stuff coming with, and they're angry. You know, and it's like, you're making it hard for me to try to establish any type of real relationship. And I'm like, man, I think I'm just going to chill out. Like, I'm good. Like, I don't think I want to go explore anything beyond from what you guys are telling me. I'm good over here. So, I mean, I'll just deal with the normal drama that I have to deal with here at home. Because it sounds like it's a whole lot more problems going on out there. And the whole dating thing, like he was talking about, is these expectations, again, probably set by the way society is and the perception of what they see portrayed on, you know, on IG or somebody posts some crap on TikTok or whatever, right, of what they're doing, where they're going. And like, you want to try to fast forward and get to this stuff. It's like, no. We got to start from ground zero. Like, I need to know some basic stuff around what kind of baggage you're carrying and what you're bringing into a relationship.
Oh, it's no joke. Have you been hearing that these women are hiding their kids now, man?
Oh, yes. That's another one. He's like, man, we're three dates in and find out that she's got a little girl.
Yep.
How?
Literally hiding kids. As in like, look, Black, I was at her house. There was no kid stuff around. I didn't know there was a kid that lived there. Look, they are rearranging. I'm not making this shit up, y'all. They are rearranging the house to make sure there's no evidence or residue of a kid. Or like, oh, that was my niece was over or something, right? And so the dude was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, whatever. You know, she works. She's a bank manager or whatever. All of a sudden, you find out the chick's a single mom, and then you got to deal with, look, her ex is always a deadbeat, right?
Yep.
Some thuggo shows up. And I said, God damn. And the crazy thing is,
he's always around. He's
always around-ish. And I'm hearing these stories, man, but it's like, it's getting so bad out there. We were talking before the show. It's gotten so bad that, look, you can't even fuck no more. Drake put man. Hot sauce in the condom, fam.
No, I know.
Come on.
Wild.
Man. Is this where we're
wild.
At? Look, you can't even look, there was a time, man, where a dude, like I said, back in the day, this is what people forget, man. They didn't live through this shit. If you grew up in a certain time, especially back in the 90s, if you were going to go on a date, because we didn't have cell phones, you set the date, and then you had to have trust. It was like this. Hey, I'm going to meet you at Joe's bar or restaurant at 8 o'clock. You were calling the person at 7, yep. right? And you yep. were like, yeah, we're still good for 8, right? Yep, we're good. I just got home from work. Or I got home from school. Hey, I'm about to go and shower or something and get ready. I'll meet you there, right? Yep. All of a sudden, you show up and you look. You're like this. Like, okay, I'm waiting for her. Oh, look, there she is. You had to have, your word was bomb because you had a reputation. This is go. What social media and the internet has done. Everybody out here is running around with these fucking, you know, usernames, avatars. So you don't know who what's real anymore. And so now, think about it. You could be a scumbag, right? With a pseudonym. Yep. Who knows that you're a scumbag? You see what I'm saying? You can just go there like this. Go. Oh, I'll delete that account and create a new account.
There you go.
No one knows nothing. Back in the day, your reputation carried. Do you remember what happened if you had a bad rep back in the 90s, the 80s and 90s? It was over.
Done. Yeah, you were done.
You had to move like across the country because even if you move like within that same state or like that, just in that region, the word could get out. Like somebody like, oh yeah, man, I just got a new job over here. And somebody would say a name. You would just see people's whole face change. Like, hold up. Right. Is that who I think it is? And you had to like you had to actually go appeal to the person. Like, no. Yep. I'm not the person I used to be, man. I've changed. And they had to like see legitimate change and you reformed yourself. Because if not, you were done back then. That's why, you know, you and I talk about in certain industries and stuff, like even like, you know, in the back in the day in the music industry or, you know, even in Hollywood movies, right? You could asshole your way out of the industry, right?
Right.
Like you show up on set, like, oh, I'm gonna be a fucking drunken asshole. Oh, that's cool. 2 years later, you're out of a career. Like, dude, how many times have we seen actors who were like the it guy, right? They were the it girl. And all of a sudden you blink. And you're like, when's the last time I saw that guy in the movie? Look, Mike Myers made that movie called The Love Doctor, right? That terrible ass movie. Or The Love Guru, right? The Love Guru. He makes one bad movie. Dude, he's relegated to cameos now.
That's it.
Like, think about it. Your reputation got bad. You put out a couple of bad movies. You drop, you know, Black, you remember this. Do you remember there was a time where if you drop one whack album, unless there was a reason for it, like, someone just died, you were stressed out, or your album got bootlegged, unless there was a reason and you had to like come back right back with a new album, your career ended with one whack album. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
You could preview an album, right? No previews. When someone, and this is why I always tell people, man, this is why that era was so important. The new album drops. It's Tuesday, right? Yo, Black, let's go cop it. We went to Sam Goody. I took all I got from you at this point back in the day was the single, right? You heard the single on TV. You were like, oh, that single's pretty cool. I'm going to see what the album is about. You might have paid $17 after tax.
That's it.
You put an album in after you just paid. And, you know, we were teenagers, right? We didn't have that kind of money. So $17 meant something back then. You put that shit in the player. You popped the disc in. And you were like, you're at like track 8. And you're like, this shit's whack.
Take that shit out.
Hey, that's take this shit out,
what
man.
You doing?
hey, remember when I brought over a whack video game?
That's it.
It's over, dude. We're done. This
the
is
game
what
is
reputation
done, and
meant.
You're done.
Yeah, the game. Yeah, you're done. As in, look, if we see LJN, come on, man. Hey, look, Black. Some of these young bucks don't know about LJN, man. They didn't grow up with the 8-bit Nintendo, man. When you saw that rainbow, you knew it was going to be some whack shit.
Shout out to Angry Video Game Nerd, LJN, the rainbow of death.
The rainbow, dude, when you saw that shit, you knew. Like, here's the thing. You didn't have to know nothing about the game. You just saw Angry. You saw that rainbow. You're like, oh, this shit's going to be whack. Like, you were like, look, your dad came. Like, I remember, man, when I got Friday the 13th, right? Because, you know, we grew up as horror fans, horror in action, right? And I was like, oh, my God, Friday the 13th, Jason. And then I saw that LJN. I was like, uh-oh. you know, like, before you open the present and you look, you're like, LJN? You're like, uh-oh.
That was the warning. That was the warning label on the front of the box. Hey, the explicit content, you know, within here. That's what this is.
Oh, I mean, dude, it was parental advisory, man. We endured some horrible days back in the day, man. Like, yeah. My man Mal just said it, man. He said he's glad he grew up with YouTube and shit, right? Because this is one of the advantages of growing up now, right? You grow up today, you have access to information that we didn't have, right? Because, think about it. Back in the day, there was no, you know, YouTube. So, like, you usually were, like, the first guy to find out something was whack, right?
Right.
So
right.
You spent your money. You're like, this shit's terrible. Too late. They got your money. Now, let me ask you this, though, Black. The year is 1994. The Last of Us Part 2 comes out. How many copies would it have sold back because there's no internet? How many copies do you think The Last of Us Part 2 sell? you remember, there's no leaks, right? You didn't know that Abby got clapped from the back, right?
Right.
You didn't know that Joel got killed by a damn golf club, right? You didn't know none of that. You just went, The Last of Us Part 2, this is going to be amazing, like the first one. How many people buy that shit, man? How many people get duped in 94?
Yeah, millions.
Millions, bro. Without leaks? Without leaks, like, right. Dude, there was no way to know this shit. And it's like, right. And we look at now, and, you know, like you know, saying, like, one of the things that's kind of crazy is that, you know, you and I were talking about this, is that our kids are kind of like reliving some of the same things we live, but because there's a twist to it, because, you know, you and I, we grew up, our parents didn't grow up with the games, right? They didn't like games. They only tolerated games because it kept us calm, right? Like, right. Well, I don't got to deal with these damn kids if I give them a Nintendo. so that they accepted it. Like, well, I mean, it's better than dealing with these damn kids all day. Right. We have kids now. And we see, like we understand what kids want to do with these video games. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah, I get it. I, you know, they're excited about this game. I get it. So, you know, you talked about that Christmas where you made a horrible, horrible mistake. You got your kids the Switch, but you made the horrible thing of buying them other shit.
There you go.
You should have known better, man.
Yep.
You should have known better. You that got was, boys. You know the boy rules. Mistake.
Yep. Because they didn't even touch it. You can play with it. Just went in there and just stayed on it 24/7, basically. But I guess the crazy, you talked about that. I mean, somebody put that comment about that in YouTube, and YouTube, yeah, it would have saved a lot of heartache with some of the games that we invested in, some of the music that we listened to.
Oh man! Do you remember when Dogfather first came out?
I played one time, and that was it.
Oh, there were some games, man. There were some albums that, like, I remember, like, having the face. Everyone knows the face, like, when they, like, yeah, they got me. The they got me face, right?
Hey.
Dude, Dogfather is one of the wackest fucking albums, man. That shit was whack. Like, Doggy Style is one of the best rap albums ever. And then the follow-up, who can forget about Mace's Double Up, right?
You're like, this shit. I think I got the track 3, and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
You're done. You're like, this shit's horrible.
Follow Harlem World with this, but anyway.
And that's the thing. Like, dude, people forget, man. We grew up at a time where, like, there was, and this is where you know, I'm kind of sad that when I kind of see what's happening to the world, is that the reason why these kids don't have the social skills is because back in the day, man, when an album came out, you talked about it physically, in person. Like, you went to school.
In person.
And, you had debates at school. You're like, no, man. Which one is the better album? When Disaster Strikes or ELE? You had to debate it. And you had to go song for song. Guys were having arguments and shit, debates. Nowadays, people are getting canceled if they said something that hurt some feelings and shit. Somebody wants to do something horrible to you. And you're starting to see, you know, and I was telling you about this before the show. When it comes to all the woke shit that's happened in the world, what do you think about this migration that the woke people are now moving to the red states, fucking your shit up? What do you think about that?
Yeah. I'll say this, man. There is obviously the shift that's taking place in a lot of this. And don't get me wrong. I could care less. Red, blue, whatever. I don't care. I think they're all crooks. But in terms of the agenda that's being set and trying to be put in place, it's sickening and it's disturbing, right? Because I think, like, what is this going to look like in the next, forget 10 years, what is this going to look like in the next 5? Because at the rate it's going, it's going to be basically a shitstorm here in the next 5 years. It's going to be unbearable. Because, I mean, it's already a daily battle as it is now. But all this, like the stuff we talked about, I was like, they're essentially trying to rewrite history. They're trying to rewrite, like, the stuff we had that long conversation about, all this going on with the new He-Man and all that junk that they're doing with the woke culture, right? And then the whole concept of woke, right? That's another thing, and all in itself. And like that, black people were originally saying woke, right, as a part of, hey, we're being more conscious of ourselves. That's how it originally started out. And then it got hijacked into being woke by feminists and everybody else.
Yep.
That's in that part of that culture. So let's set the record straight on that. Because now woke has gone into a totally different category now. Because thanks to them. And so now, as a part of that, now it's like, hey, you got to either ride this train or you're not a part of this. So you're the problem. Right. Because you can't, again, show any type of resistance or rebellion to it, because then they're going to turn around and alienate. And then they're going to try to do everything that they can, try to put you in this box. Right. Because, hey, you're not for us. No, damn you. I don't want anything to do with you. Let me be clear about it. Right. But as far as what I'm seeing here, it is, you can slowly start to see a shift. Damn. Right, this taking place. And I mean, everything from, again, if you're looking at the polls, when it's time to vote, you just look. I mean, it's just been a gradual shift, and it's inching closer and closer until eventually.
How long do you think certain
what you previously knew?
Well, you give it two to three more elections. I say two more max. Because that's how long, because either in two elections, that, you know, you're thinking about, that's 8 years, right? 8 years is right. A long time for people to move into your state and infiltrate and change all the voting laws, right? Like it doesn't take long. Like, you know, and I can see that going forward. And it's like, Lord of Simpson Cucks had put up about the feminist meltdown, that chick on G4, right? And like, this woke thing is not going to stop, right? And this is what people need to understand. Everyone who sits on the sideline, and this is one of the beefs I have with, I call them the normies, right? The people who say they're not for this, right? Oh, I don't like this, Drex, but what are you doing about it, though? You can't just say, I'm against something, but I'm just going to sit at home, right? I'm not going to say nothing. Right. I'm not going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit there and hope that this ends. Dude, these people aren't relenting. They aren't saying like, hey, don't worry, guys. We're going to do 5 years of woke, and then we're going to take a year off. No. They're not stopping. They're not. Look, they're going out there. All your kids, they want. Dude, they're trying to pass laws where old-ass people can go ahead and do things sexual to your children, right? Old motherfuckers out here, right?
Yeah. So that's who they want. That's the key right there. It's not us,
right? Oh, no. Yeah, they're not going to go. Yeah. You. They're not going after the people who are, you know, 40 something. No. It was always about the kids. When you can normalize all kinds of weirdo shit, and then the kids start basically parroting that. And when, like you say, you go to that basketball game, you see how those girls are dressed. That means they've already been indoctrinated, right? If girls are dressing like thoughts at that age, that means it's too late. Yeah. We need to stop. I'm gonna tell you something that we need to get out of our heads, and we'll end it on this. We need to get away from believing that people can be saved, right?
Yeah.
Because let me ask you this. In your lifetime, how many people have you seen actually make a genuine turnaround in their life?
Dude, it's...
I'm what percent? What
less than five.
So you're saying the other up to 95%, you saw them going down a certain path, and that was just the path that they were, right? That was just who they were and what they did,
that's
right?
Just, yeah.
You're like, well, they're a thug, or they're a thot. Or look, how many times have you... Look, most single moms don't stop after one kid, right? Most of them end up having more kids, right, by other men. Most dudes, like Future, have 9, 10 baby mamas, right? Like, yep. It's just like, this yep. is who these people are. They're not going to change overnight and be like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to be a good person and do things this way. No. You know, and this is the thing, though, man. I don't know if you heard about this. Someone sent me the story. Vaxxed women in New York are now claiming that they're unvaxxed because it hurts them on the dating market. And I think we're going to start seeing that. Like woke culture is starting to collapse in some ways and getting stronger in others. I think we're going to start seeing more and more people. You remember the end of Django Unchained where Steven realizes that the jig is up, right? When Django comes back to kill everybody.
Yep.
And you notice Steven tried to ease on out the front door, right? Like, oh, let me just kind of slide out. Now, you and I both know the truth. Had Steven gotten away, he would have told a lie and repackaged himself like, oh, I was a poor slave, exactly. And oh, my life was so hard. I'm with you, brother. Right?
Yeah, of course.
That's what these
wolves are. That's who he is at his core.
Yeah, at his core, he's a chameleon. He's a snake.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, woke is winning, right? You and I both know there's going to be a time where woke isn't winning anymore, right? And when woke stops winning, when it finally starts like taking major L's, when people are like, oh, you're woke? Well, I won't date you. Oh, you're woke? I don't want to do business with you. That's when these same people are going to, oh, I better get rid of these tattoos. I better tear down my social media where I got BLM and rainbows and shit. I better start saying something. And that's when you and I both know the truth. This is why we got to stay vigilant, because when a motherfucker shows up to you and they're in their 30s, and they're spouting some like, oh, yeah, I'm a traditionalist. How are you in your 30s saying some shit that don't make no kind of sense? Because if you were what you said you were, you'd be in this boat, right?
There you go.
It would be like a person saying, I'm a hard worker. All I do is work all day. I don't spend my money on nothing stupid. But they got no money in the bank, right? They're literally flat broke. Like, well, how does that make sense?
Trash.
Yeah, like, yep. Come on all, now. All so,
yeah,
it's getting wild, man. But yeah, like, I like to thank you for coming on. Like I said, man, this is one of those fun episodes of talking about where we come from, the family that we've had, because we've lost some people, we're gaining some people, and just how big of a deal it is to let these people out here know, man, it is always going to begin and end with dad. It's literally the beginning and end. Dad. That's it. You want to change everything around? Dad. That's it. One major thing. Like, now, Black, you know how hard I go at these goddamn German Shepherds. I go at Black women all day, every day, because I can't fucking stand them. And it's because they turned their back on Black men and ran for the government assistance instead, right?
Wait, let's be clear. Heterosexual Black men.
Oh, yeah. Masculine, heterosexual Black men are the enemy. Black men. Yeah, as long as you look like Billy Porter,
gotta put that
Black women love you. They look, they go hard for Jussie Smollett, right? We stand with Jussie. They ain't gonna stand for your goddamn Black ass, will they? You see what I'm saying? If you show up and you got your hand on your fucking dick and balls, they won't stand up for you. You're the enemy. They're gonna sick the government after you. They're gonna sick social media after you. I tell these dudes out here, even while I'm sitting here dying of this damn cold for the last couple of days, you gotta stay vigilant, because they think the enemy is not relenting whatsoever. They're getting stronger by the day if you want them to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, every time that someone tries to tell your son to put on a dress or to explore his gender identity, all you have to do is just show up as dad. And all of a sudden, because you know, they only say that shit to the moms, right? Like, it's about feelings. And they never say that shit around fathers, strong fathers, right?
Nope.
When you show up with your legs tucked in, your shoulders scrunched in, you got a soft voice, you defer to a fucking woman to speak for the family.
Well, it's whatever she wants. So she's the boss.
Right.
Fuck you.
Exactly.
Black, you don't know how much I fucking detest these fucking bitch made dudes, man. Oh. They sicken me. And that's how we got here. We talked about family at this family reunion, man. Dudes were, the men were men. Not no mo.
Nope.
Not no mo. All we got now is soy boys, dudes out here getting pegged.
It's
bitch made beta cuck sent manginas.
Man.
And now we're the last of a dying breed, right?
Yeah, if you were to fast forward now, you go to a reunion now. I mean, you'll probably have more men with purses than the women.
Oh, shit. God. That shit, that's some heartbreaking shit, man. Like, you know, if we could go, if we went to like a time capsule, we got guys like Uncle Sam tossing, turning their motherfucking grave. He went from going room to room whooping asses.
Oh, man.
And, you know, people used to bring out, they used to tell you to go get the switch. Now that's abuse.
Man.
That's how far we've fallen.
Yeah.
And how far we need to get back up.
They're going to care. They'll just come take your kids.
Right? Oh, yeah, they will.
Social services. Yeah, because, oh, heaven forbid you actually try to apply a little discipline. I'm not saying beat your kids' brains in.
You might have to, though. Some of these kids bad than a motherfucker.
Hey, look. Corrective measures. I'm like, okay, so you don't want me to do it at home, but then you want me to turn around and turn them loose in society, and then, hey, let them go get shot, get locked away, or whatever. That's what you want.
Oh, don't worry, right? You're going to take the blame for that, though. Remember that? Dad always gets the blame, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
This kid's father, she's just a poor single mom doing the best she can. It's the dad. Oh, like, wait a minute, man. Y'all did everything you could to get me out of the picture.
Exactly.
Don't blame me now.
Yep. We're always the scapegoat.
Scapegoat. Especially the black, like I said, black men, we had it for decades. Now white guys are seeing what it's like to be black. Like, you know, I told you this. I always give a shout out to all my white brothers out there. I was like, how does it feel, white guy? It sucks, doesn't it? You're getting blamed for everything. There's not a white man 28 miles near a crime scene, but he gets blamed. It's the white man. Someone's like, what the fuck? Like, the white guy's going, well, I wasn't even there. Yeah, I know. We weren't there either when Susan Smith drowned her fucking kids either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We were taking the rap for everything. Like, it was a black man. A black man did it. A black man graped her in this barn. You guys believe that shit? The Central Park Five. You guys believe this shit? Come on, man. Look. Black. They did, though. The media was like, black man is evil. I'm sitting looking like, y'all know we weren't even there. Oh yeah. We were on the side. Well, yeah, Emmett Till, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
You black dudes got blamed for every goddamn thing. Everything. Now it's the white guy. There was a small period where it was the Middle Eastern guy post 9/11, right? It was the brown people. If you were brown, you got blamed for everything, right?
Oh yeah.
Now it's shipped over to the white guy. Eventually, it's coming for you, Asian guy, and then Latino dude. You guys are next. You're gonna see what it's like to. Everywhere you go, you're the villain. Everywhere you go, you're like this. Dude, I ain't doing it. Yeah, look. I got one of my Latino brothers. Shout out to Leximus in the chat. He said, we're next. Latinos know what's coming, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's coming for you, too. And it's this is why we have to band together. I know the guys aren't going to band together. You and I, we know why guys aren't going to band together. It's because of pussy.
Man.
It's competition, needless, I might add. Needless competition over pussy is why men don't join forces. Women join forces right away. Me too? Yeah, sis. Burn these motherfuckers out here. You're like, God damn. Like, it didn't take much for women to join forces to tear down men. But ask men to join forces. Your skin color is different. You're not my brother. What the fuck? Like, dude, women join forces all the time. Yeah, sis, let me tell you how to finesse these men. Let's show you how to twerk. Let's show you how to, girl, get that bag. Anything that involves tearing down men, women join forces. Oh, you want me to show you how to get the man out of the house? Want me to tell you how to get child support and welfare? And women join forces literally overnight. You can't get men to join forces for shit. Because as soon as females get involved, they flip on each other.
Oh, you know, and it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, hey, these queens out here, man. That's right, queen.
Yeah, queen. Good girl, get that bag, queen. But yeah, let me shout out to all those queens out there. Yeah, y'all can all eat a bag of fucking dicks. with AIDS on the tip, with hot sauce on it, like Drake just did it. And yeah, y'all can all go die slow. And yeah, Black, I'll let you out here. Is there anything last thing you want to say before you get out of here?
No, fam. Hey, appreciate it, man. Letting me on, bringing me on today. Hey, shout out to all the listeners and people popping off in the chat. Had a great time, man. So, I mean, we got tons of more stories and things.
Oh, yeah. Look, for man, a later we got time, stories man. For days, man.
Oh.
Look, we even saw people fucking in a damn car at one of the band reunions.
Yeah, that was one of the reunions. Yeah. My man was getting it.
It was some shit out of a movie, fam. It was literally a handprint up in the damn window, fogged up. Like, dude,
why is his car rocking?
Why is that car rocking? Hey, he beat them buds, man. Hey, my brother went out there. He got it. I mean, I ain't seen a chick get it like that, but he got it, man. But yeah, it's been a great time. Like I said, we'll definitely come back because we're gonna have to bring back for the game talk. We're going to go balls deep into all the nostalgia about the old games that we used to play, man. You know, I mean, Ghosts and Goblins, I know, tortured your uncle, fucked his whole life up.
Man, he refuses to play.
Look, Arthur running slow. Dude, Arthur might be the slowest game character in the history of fucking mankind, man. For those of you guys who don't know, man, like I said, we're giving you a teaser before we talk about video games of the past. Go back and play the new Ghosts and Goblins Resurrection and tell me if Arthur is not the slowest video game character that has ever lived, man. Oh, and you're like, wait, there's no run button? Nah, but that's his real speed, man.
Right. There's only one speed. Slow.
One speed, slow. They ain't never beat it. They ain't never had to beat a game twice for no reason. Like, wait, but I finished. Nah, you didn't beat the game, man. You just beat the first half of the game.
That's it.
Play it
it's
again.
It's all been an illusion.
It's been an illusion, man. Play this shit again and let the enemies get stronger. Look, Zelda had the Master Quest. Like, what do you mean the game got harder? For no reason.
Right.
Look, that needs to be what these kids learn. Like I said, you know, you and I talk about, we're going to talk about games next time.
Yeah.
And the fact that these kids are out here playing some literal bullshit. And, you know, I've seen, builds, you know,
character.
It builds character. Dude, I was at Nick's house. His son, this is no bullshit. They have a brand new Xbox. What's it called? What's the new one? Series X, right? Is that the new one?
I think so. You're talking to somebody who plays the Switch.
He has a new Series X Xbox, right? Do you know what he's playing on it?
Fortnite.
No, he actually don't play Fortnite. He's playing Tetris and Celeste.
Oh,
old school. You see what I'm saying? Like you would think, you know, he's got this modern technology, right? Yeah. Oh, the best graphics that you can find. He's playing fucking Tetris and Celeste, bro.
He's on Celeste then.
Hey.
There may be potential there.
There's potential. So yeah, that's what we got for you guys. Like I said, we're going to hit you guys next time, man. And we're going to hit you with this gaming knowledge because y'all motherfuckers really need it because there's people out here playing bullshit. And we ain't gonna allow that, man. We need kids to play that real shit that builds character. When you play Ninja Gaiden in the arcade and you see the buzzsaw coming down and they need you to give you more quarters. They need you to get that real shit, man.
That's it, man. They gotta feel that pain. They gotta feel that pain. When you hear the game title and you just start getting upset for no reason. I start twitching.
Hey, when you got to the Turbo Tunnel and Battletoads as a kid, and you thought that was the end of the game, but you knew it wasn't the end because you saw that, well, a game can't end after three levels, right? These kids don't know what it's like to have no strategy guide, and when you use your continues, that's it, right?
That's it.
That's it. No, wait, what the fuck you mean continues? That's game over.
That's it.
Hey, look, you said it yourself. You play Wrath of the Black Ninja.
Oh my gosh, man.
You said the last dude came up a goddamn jukebox or a boombox.
Jukebox. And you couldn't kill him. He held his kid hostage. Every time you hit him, you hit the kid. Game over. May that game burn in eternal hell.
Man, we got to bring that shit back, man. Yeah. Peace out to everybody. We're going to come back next time for gaming with me and Black Rain. We're going to bring you guys all the way back to the fucking 80s. Look back when games used to actually be even games that you had unlimited lives, you stopped playing because the shit got so difficult that you literally it broke your soul. It broke your spirit.
That's it.
Like, that's why, look, man, I got to give a special shout out to Angry Video Game Nerd. Even before we do that episode, go watch that Silver Surfer video. Or Street Fighter, was it Street Fighter 20, was it 2019, 20, what the hell, what year was it?
Oh.
You know, 2020, right? 2010, yeah. Street Fighter 2010. Go watch the Street Fighter 2010 video of Angry Video Game Nerd, man. Yeah. That should give you some idea of how ridiculous, like, what do you mean I got to get all the way to the last guy with this one life? Like,
right. Right. So, man, yeah, just if you're in for a real treat, get a chance to go check that out. You start with the Silver Surfer video. Just start with that one first.
Yeah, yeah, start with that. Yeah, yeah. Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, that cane, they don't do shit. Yeah, we're bringing them back, man. We're gonna bring them back when we come back for the video game episode, man. So, yeah, peace out to everybody out there.
Until next week, everyone, stay frosty.
Stay toxic.